And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me, Chase McCurb.
Good Monday.
That's him. Willie D will join us a little bit later in the program because we are live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. You know what that means. Predators have a home game tonight against the Edmonton Oilers. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame, and everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. And then the Predators will be back at it tomorrow, but they'll be in Minnesota to take on the Wild. Teron Davenport talking with TD. He's got the hat on. I can read.
That's right.
That's his podcast. He also is NFL Nation reporter for the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. And he was going to bring the show up. He was practicing on the open to the show to start off the week. And
yeah, just in case.
So how did that go? Did you feel good about your intro that nobody heard but us?
Oh, yeah. It sounded just like you.
Just like that? Okay.
And a good Monday morning.
That's good.
Is that what I sound like?
Just, hey, basically. Just don't say, and it is. Don't do that.
I mean, you got to, if you're going to duplicate it, you got to duplicate it. So
we've got a lot of things to get into. Let's start with, and by the way, we've got a lot of things to get into on the show today. We'll obviously talk about the game on Saturday night here against Colorado, a little bit of a controversy at the end. We'll head to Knoxville at noon. We'll talk a little bit about what happened at Nissan Stadium.
Mike Jacobs, the Nashville SC GM, will join us.
There you go. Almost 60,000 at a soccer match in Nashville, but you just got back from Indianapolis. So what were your thoughts, Tron?
Man, there's a lot of thoughts to process. I tell you one thing, the Titans position coaches were busy. And one specifically, Tony Dews, made a really good impression on multiple running backs that I spoke to. So I, coming back from the trip, feel good about it. Just want to see how this free agency thing works. And that's really going to dictate how the draft goes. So a lot of work done by the staff, including Mike Vrabel and J-Rob. You know, they were busy in meetings, so there are plenty of prospects to discuss and plenty that really – a couple that really, really impressed me, and I came away even more impressed having spoken to them personally up front as opposed to just watching their game on film.
And who stood out to you?
I love Darnay Holmes, man.
Okay.
Love that kid.
Why do you love him?
Well, I love him because he's faith-based, you know, and I asked him some different questions about, you know, what makes him tick, and he was able to quote scriptures, and just the way he stood up there and how polished and calm he was, it was awesome. I asked him about different receivers that he faced. He went back to 2017. I asked him about this year or the previous year. He went back to 17, talked about Anthony Miller. And how that was, or excuse me, Anthony, I keep saying Anthony Miller.
He was a good wide receiver.
No, it is Anthony Miller. It is Miller.
With the Chargers?
Not the one with the Chargers, because that would be going back to a
way
long
back.
Time ago. He went back, he went to Memphis, and then the Bears drafted him.
Yeah, okay.
But he talked about the learning lesson that he got from covering him. We talked about some of the other guys, you know, Marquise Brown, N'Keal Harry. And then he was mentored in high school by Adoree Jackson. So there's actually – I posted it on Twitter, that part of the conversation. And he's polished, man. If you watch the video that I posted, you'll see what I'm saying. And even his game itself is impressive. Actually, Deion Sanders, during the field drills, he says specifically Darnay Holmes is the best-looking guy out there.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
How many plans do you think the Titans currently have right now with the draft? Because the way I look at it, I think there's plan A, B, C, D, E, and it's all based on, okay, who's the quarterback? Do they get Conklin? You know, do they get Henry re-signed? I mean, a lot of it hinges on what they're going to do with free agents or their own guys.
I think really the bulk of it hinges on Jack Conklin. I feel like as if they firmly believe that Tannehill and Henry are going to be back. That's my thought process. And what happens with Conklin, if he leaves, now it's like, okay, what are you going to do at pick 29? I will say this. They spoke to Lucas Niang out of TCU. Josh Jones, who is probably going to be the guy that will be there for him. And he actually, speaking to him, he told me that Lane Johnson – I just smiled when he said that because, you know, I love Lane Johnson. And he said Lane Johnson is a guy that he watched and patterns his game after. So I said, if that's the case to myself, I said, if that's the case, he needs to be the pick. We talked about him being more dominant also. So that's something. Really, Jack Conklin is going to dictate what happens. But at the same time, you could come back later and get a guy like a Matthew Pert from UConn. So there are guys that you could get later, but it's just me personally, if I'm a team and I lose an all-pro caliber right tackle that was playing next to an up-and-coming right guard in his second year, I got to go as high as possible, get as best of a prospect as possible to plug in next to him. But that means Dennis Kelly has to be signed.
Sure.
And I will say this, there is more interest in Kelly than you would think.
Really?
And that's something I drew from being out there.
Huh. Hmm. Interesting.
Just because of his versatility?
Versatility and just what he did. The main focus is on 2018.
Yeah.
Because let's be frank, he played better than Jack Conklin.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Jack Conklin had confidence issues. He was coming fresh off the injury, so that's not a knock on Conklin. I think you saw the real Jack Conklin towards the end of this past year, the last 7 or 8 games.
Do you think, by the way, whoever knew that trade of DGB for Dennis Kelly, whoever thought it would ever have the impact that it did? I mean, Doriel Green Beckham did absolutely nothing, was out of the league shortly after that trade, and look what Dennis Kelly has done for this organization.
I'll tell you a funny story about – I got a couple about DGB.
You were in Philly when that happened, right?
Yeah. well, I'll tell you two real quick ones. I got DGB in trouble because I told him, you know, I was upset because he was constantly on the backside of the formation, and they were just putting one guy over there. The safety just completely forgot about that half of the field. So I talked to him multiple times about, yo, you need to demand the football, man. Like, why aren't you asking for the ball? So he said, yeah, you're right. He went and did it, but in DGB style, he did it the wrong way. And next thing you know, he was kind of in the doghouse. Another funny story is we asked him about, you know, you have my cars, my cleats. We asked him about that, you know, why he had the cleats on, because he has some Yeezy cleats, Kanye West. He said, well, I'm doing it for the Yeezy Foundation. And one of the reporters posted it on Twitter. The NFL saw it, fined him $6,000 because there's no such thing as the Yeezy Foundation. Only DGB could get into that kind of trouble.
And I wonder what he's doing now.
Not the best things. So
really,
yeah, he's
is he in trouble?
I didn't say that because I honestly didn't. The last I heard, he had to serve a short sentence for a DUI
in Missouri.
I don't remember where it was. Yeah,
but who knew? Going back to the initial comment, who knew?
Yeah,
how big that trade would end up being for the Titans?
Major.
Yeah, that was. Was that John Robinson's, I want to say, his first ever trade, right?
Oh, for
No. His first trade was would have been DeMarco Murray.
No, I don't think so. Was it?
Yeah.
His first trade wasn't that draft trade?
Well, maybe, but.
Which draft
DeMarco
trade?
Murray was
the number
before.
You're talking about the number one pick?
Yeah.
To move down when they took Conklin?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'd have to go look at the timeline. I'd be curious to know which one was.
The DGB and Dennis Kelly trade was in training camp.
Of 16, right?
Yeah. It was in August.
So, his first trade.
So, DeMarco was in the spring.
Okay.
And I think the draft trade, I can't remember when the draft trade was.
That pick that they used to get Conklin was actually the Eagles pick. It was the Eagles pick and –
That's when they gave the Rams the number one pick, right? And
they gave the Rams. Yeah, yeah.
And they moved down to whatever the number was and then moved back up to get Conklin.
Correct. And that was with the Dolphins, actually. The Dolphins. There were so many trades. That was with the Dolphins because the Eagles traded with the Dolphins. That was the whole Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso deal. They went from 13 to 8. And then the Dolphins had that pick, so they must have made a deal with the Titans because the Eagles, in turn, went from 8 to 2 to get Carson Wentz, a.k.a. Ginger Jesus. That's what they call him in Philly.
Depending on who was under center next season, do you think, and we'll know in a couple of weeks, I suspect, do you think that hinges on what John Robinson's going to do at right tackle? Do you think that plays into it at all? Like, if we have Tannehill, someone like the Jets are going to overpay. We got to let him walk. If it's Tom Brady, wait a minute. Do we need to get back in the room and discuss veteran guy? We know what he brings to the table to protect Tom Brady because he's the short term, right?
Yeah.
You think is that fair?
I think that is the case because, dare I say, there's an advantage in having Tannehill over Brady. And that advantage is Tannehill could get out of Dodge.
Yeah,
right.
And he has a way of doing that and looking downfield to make the throw, or he could do it and run. He's still an athletic guy. Don't get it twisted. So I think having that bookend right tackle is a little more important for Brady because, really, for Brady, you know, it's all about maneuvering the pocket, manipulating it, stepping up, but he's not that guy that's going to break free and run if the pocket collapses on him.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about FaceTiming. Okay, and get your thoughts on that. The saga as Tom turns continues. We'll discuss that on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live at Pete Terry's Tavern on this rainy Monday. Aaron McFarland, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick will join us a little bit later. It is game day. Predators and Edmonton Oilers tonight at 7 o'clock. So Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl in the house. And that game will take place at 7 o'clock. Normal start time. I know Saturday was a little bit different. It was an hour earlier at 6. But it'll be back to 7 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock pregame. Teron Davenport is also hanging out with us. He's back from Indianapolis. He was up there covering the combines. And something else that happened over the weekend, Jaron, was TB12, Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, and Jimmy Fallon at a Syracuse basketball game. That is an interesting trio, but hanging out, although Jimmy, I think Jimmy's a Boston guy, so that makes sense, hanging out at a Syracuse basketball game at courtside. And apparently Mike Vrabel, too. If you see the video and you see that somebody captured, looked like Tom Brady was FaceTiming him.
Well, I mean, fortunately, Coach Vrabel has a very unique facial structure, so it is easy to pick him out.
The stash maybe gave it away?
He was shaving, clean shaving in that picture.
Was actually. He?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I saw the stash. No?
Yeah, he originally, so in the beginning of the week, he had, you know, the little Tom Hanks Castaway going. Then he shaved that off and had the clean shave towards the end of the week, and that's when that video was.
Interesting. So what do you make of that? Anything?
No, not really. It's friends, man. I mean, they're homies. You know, it's that's what homies do, right? They FaceTime. Well, not me. I call my homies, you know, but that's because I'm not an iPhone dude. But, you know, that's what – if you got the iPhone, that's what you do. You FaceTime each other, you know. But usually you're looking away from the screen. You don't look into the screen. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's just a matter of just a couple friends just touching base. I wouldn't really read into that too
much.
So
you think they were doing the same thing last offseason?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would imagine they did that when they made their Kentucky Derby plans, you know.
Look.
Okay, so you're just saying business as usual. No, nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Keep it moving.
Really?
I really feel that way.
So what do you think is going to happen in a couple weeks? What are we going to be talking about? That's a loaded question, isn't it?
You know what? There are so many things. I wouldn't be surprised if Brady's in San Francisco. And they deal Garoppolo back to – or they either release – because it only cost them $4 million to cut Garoppolo.
Yeah.
So I could see him doing – and that's a separate conversation, but that's why the funny money with these deals,
yeah,
that people had these big problems. No, it's $4 million. What, 2 years later, after a $100 million deal, it cost him $4 million. So I could see that happening where Garoppolo goes back to New England, Brady goes back home to the Bay, and, you know, Ryan Tannehill is under center here. I could see it happening. Here's the thing. So many people beg for Tom Brady, and I get it. He's the GOAT. But – how long has this city, you know, begged for continuity on offense? I mean, that's all I hear, the Mark excuses, right?
Yep.
Every excuse that you make for Marcus Mariota is, well, he didn't have the same scheme. That's what it leads with. You know what I mean? So now you have a guy in the same scheme, and you can have the quarterback back once again. Why ask for something different? Why not just roll with what's working?
That's a good point. I mean, that's one thing that I brought up with Ryan Tannehill of, hey, stick with what you know. It worked. I know it was only 10 games, but this offense really got into a rhythm with him. Now you're going to have to get, you know, better in other areas. You got to get Derrick Henry re-signed. You have to find – I don't think we put enough importance on the finding the complimentary back to Derrick Henry, because I think they need to do that, and that needs to be a priority.
I think that's what they're doing because, again, like I said, Tony Dews was busy. Listen, man, Florida State, Cam Akers, yep. Take him seriously. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, take him seriously. Tony Dews was actually in – all right, well, I'll put it this way because I don't want to tell on him. But he knows what we were asking. As media, he knows what we were asking, and he was taking notice to that. So I put it that way. They're going to draft a running back, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's high.
Really?
Know, whether it be Swift or Jonathan Taylor. But I think it's going to be one of the top
five
guys.
Do you think it could be 29th?
It's very possible. Huh. It could be, if you look at the board, like depending on how the board is, it could be. You know, if the tackles are gone, if the edge rushers are gone and there's not a guy, hey, look, John Robinson is very savvy when it comes to football, and he understands you can never have enough playmakers. So I could definitely see a guy like Swift, Jonathan Taylor, being someone that they could bring aboard at 29. It's possible.
That's a twist.
But I mean,
because usually you think if you're not depending on them, you know, because Derrick Henry is going to, if he's intact, he is your bell cow, he's your guy. Usually the conventional wisdom is you can get that guy in the third or fourth, more of the mid rounds.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And if they go that route, Anthony McFarlane out of Maryland, he's a burner. Go watch the Ohio State tape, almost 300. But he had other really good games. But he's someone. There are a lot of backs in this. Obviously, Keyshawn Vaughn right here in the backyard. Zach Moss, I'm not so sure that he's a fit for them. But, you know, those other guys I mentioned, especially Edwards-Helaire, if they get him in the second round, I think that would be tremendous value. And he is someone that could come in and contribute.
Could you see a scenario, let's say, just for this conversation, that they do go Brady, that Brady ends up being the guy? They still draft a running back, but they go find him, you know, a Rex Burkhead type that he's used to having and kind of work that in as a possibility? Or do you just see this being more of a two-back system, keep Kari Blasingame as the, you know, the fullback, the H-back, however you want to – whatever you want to use to describe him, but keep it that way?
I could see them going a bit later and getting a back. But I tell you one thing, if they get Brady, I really think a guy – there are a few guys, but Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State comes into play. Now, last year, you know, I was saying AJ is the yak monster.
Yeah.
Well, this is this year's version of the yak monster. And I could see him being a guy, or even KJ Hill a bit later, Jalen Reagor, somebody that they can make the short throw to, because Brady is all about two paps and throwing it. Get that short throw, get it into the hands of the playmakers, and let them do all the work for you. So this way you could keep Brady upright. You don't have to depend on him to move around a lot. You need guys that will win immediately at the line of scrimmage.
Does Adam Humphries become his new Edelman?
If Brady comes here, Adam Humphries will have 100 receptions.
Because it's – I mean, he's that same position. He's that slot guy.
Fits the mold.
It's the timing. I remember talking to Brady back in 2015 about the importance of timing and trust in the passing game. And he lit up when I asked him that question because that's the most important thing. He's throwing the spots. He needs to trust you to be there when you're supposed to be there, and that will make plays for you.
Adam Humphries goes in the top three rounds in a PPR league if Tom Brady is drafted. That's the significance of Tom Brady to Adam Humphries.
Yeah, no doubt. Because what ends up happening, that's the one thing that's kind of – if you're a Derrick Henry fan, the thing that's kind of troubling is if Brady comes here, now all of a sudden you're – short passing game becomes a version of the rushing attack. So, you know, you want Henry to get his carries. So there's a little balance that they have to find.
Yeah, with sticking on the wide receiver front, whether it's Tannehill or it's Brady, Corey Davis has to, in my opinion, go to another level. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about this a lot on Chasing TD of that we, you know, you think there is another level and he can get there. It's just – you know, you had a lot of different things that he was going through. You had a rookie wide receiver that blew everybody's mind. and I think exceeded all expectations. I know he didn't exceed his own expectations. That's what I love about A.J. Brown. But Corey Davis, this is a make-or-break year for him because I don't see them picking up the fifth-year option. I think it's a prove-it year. What do you expect out of him?
I think that really that's a tough question.
Second year in this offense. I mean, you would think that he's going to
– It's not as much his time in the offense as it is him getting the football. And there were so many times I remember after games where Tannehill said, you know what, I have to get him the ball. I didn't get him the ball. He was getting open. And that's where you have to find that balance of demanding the ball but not being a, you know, as Corey Davis would say, a diva.
Yeah.
And that's the balance that he's trying to find. He wants to be a team player. So I think it really depends on that more than just the offense itself. Just get him to rock. You know, and he needs to get that trust from Tannehill because Tannehill trusts A.J. Brown. You look at the Texans game where he threw that ball in that back in the corner just in front of the end zone and A.J. caught it. He just threw it, two guys on him. I know he's going to make a play. He needs that trust in Corey Davis.
I think what people lose sight of sometimes is when you're a quarterback and you have multiple weapons, and we've talked about this team trying to get multiple weapons for – whether it was Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill, or whoever the quarterback of the future is going to be. Now, if you look at this offense, you know you got 22 behind you. Mm-hmm. You have A.J. Brown. You have Corey Davis. You have Humphreys. You have Jonnu Smith or Delanie Walker. You have the tight end. You have Firkser. I mean, you have multiple guys on every play that you can throw the ball to. And, you hear that and you go, well, that's awesome. That's great. That makes it easy on the quarterback. Well, actually, I think it makes it harder on the quarterback because you're having to – I mean, you know that you're going to have those options, but you got to find the right one at this point. So it's trying to find – and you want to complete the play. You're not – you can't be worried about feelings of, oh, okay, well, AJ's caught three passes, so I got to make sure Corey catches his three passes. It's not that, but it's also trying to find that balance, as you said.
Yeah. I mean, really what it boils down to is going where your reads take you. But yeah. – The thing is, sometimes you'll have that read and you'll know I got AJ backside, man. Let me come off of that and hit. You know what I mean? So there's a balance there. But if the quarterback truly goes where his reads take him, there shouldn't be an issue distributing the football. But there's just that innate human tendency to go with what you know. And I think that's what we saw happen a lot with Tannehill to A.J. Brown and also to Jonnu Smith.
Do you have a concern with we've talked about that we think that they'll probably end up re-signing Tannehill, but do you have a concern with the growth that these receivers had, that if they do change quarterbacks yet again, that even though it's Tom Brady coming in here most likely, but do you have any concern about taking a step back that you're changing the guy throwing to you?
I don't really have a concern about that. I think regardless, A.J. Brown is going to be outstanding. I think as long as Corey Davis could establish that connection early, they'll be fine. That's where, you know, getting that decision made and getting these guys together, you know, having their own passing camp, during the offseason and then getting into spring ball and everything, rolling that into training camp, really building that momentum and chemistry is going to be important for whoever, but especially Corey Davis.
All right, we'll come back more with talking with TD Tron Davenport from ESPN, ESPN.com. On the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tick-tock, tick-tock, it is March. And this is going to be a busy, busy sports month back here on Darren Donick and Chase. NHL season is winding down. They're going into they're in their final month. Playoffs, jockeying for playoff positioning. You've got Nashville SC, kicked off an MLS season in the NFL. Is going to have their offseason. Their big offseason is done in the months of March and April when it comes to free agency and the draft. And that's how they build next year's product.
Yep.
So in your opinion, what do you think is the first Tehran kaboom we get in the next couple of weeks that makes us all go, wow, okay.
Titan-wise?
Titan-wise, league-wise.
Answer it two ways, Titan-wise and league-wise.
I think league-wise, I feel like day one of free agency or even in that tampering period, Jack Coughlin is going to sign a big deal with either the Giants. I think it's going to be with the Giants. Giants or Browns. I think that would be the first big kaboom. And that changes what I thought would be the order of business. I think from there, the Titans go ahead and make the decision on Tannehill.
Yeah.
And then after that, Derrick Henry.
So, okay, but you're talking the free agency period. So
free agency period.
So what about the tags? They can use both tags, and they have to have that done before free agency opens. So do you think that they just don't tag anybody and they risk it? Or
it's so hard to tell because this is a team that has never used it. You know, they haven't used the tag, and then on top of that, typically if there's a free agent that they want to come back, they have the deal done before he hits free agency. So there's no telling. If I had to guess, I would say no tag.
That's risky. Especially for Derek.
The thing with Derek that you have to understand is his flavor may not be for everyone. There are only so many teams who will dedicate themselves to the run, which is what you pretty much have to have with Derek. And it's so strange because he's a high volume and home run back. You know, whereas you have some guy like a Dalvin Cook, they're just a home run guy. Like you give him 18 carries, he'll give you, you know what I mean? Or 15 carries, he'll give you 100 plus. So I think the market for Derrick Henry may not be as much as I like him as a player, and you know that, I think the market may not be as abundant for him as we really think.
All right, let me give you some teams that would come to mind right away. Seattle, for sure. Trying to recapture, you know, what Lynch meant to them when he was in his heyday. Pete Carroll was not afraid to run. Smash brand football, give Russell Wilson, his star quarterback, some help with the running game. They've tried all these guys since Lynch, and Carson can't stay healthy. You know, they just kind of go through. So that's a team that would come to mind that would maybe willing to jump in there and pay big bucks for Derrick Henry. If Tom Brady stays in New England, I could see the Patriots maybe showing real interest in Derrick Henry if Tom was going to be there. In the division, does Houston get really interested? Or can they? I don't know. Their cap situation isn't. What is their cap situation?
I think they have money to spend, but they have to invest it on the offensive line. You know, because they don't have draft picks.
So right. Yeah, they've given up all that.
I'm saying this. Derrick Henry, I think Ryan Tannehill will draw, as crazy as it sounds, I think Tannehill will draw more interest on the open market than Derrick Henry will. Also, Derrick Henry has made it known that he wants to be back. So that's there's no doubt about it. So that's kind of something that you could have in the bag, like, you know, and you could just have ongoing negotiations. And mind you, Henry is with CAA also, although it's Jimmy Sexton, it's still the same agency, right? So I'm sure that triangle there is working, and they're trying to figure out how they could have everyone together when the dust clears.
Yeah. And I'm certainly not suggesting that he's going anywhere.
I don't
believe for a second he's going anywhere. But what's interesting is trying to figure out how are they going to keep him here? What is the method? What if they tagged him? How do you think he handles that?
Tough question. I think he would handle it well.
I do too.
Because he's always someone who feels he has to not prove himself, but he's always driven.
And he's a team guy too.
Yeah, I think he understands that. And then it comes into, okay, next year, that's when I really would be curious how they would react. He would react if he gets tagged then. But I think, he gets it. But at the same time, he gets it. You say that, so he understands that the window for earning is only so big for running backs.
No doubt. I just think that it's going to be a really interesting – I don't think it's it's not going to be very quiet. I think it's going to be.
I love it.
I actually think there's going to be a lot of kabooms. I really do.
All over the league.
All over the league, which is, you know, great. Great for them because they're not doing anything on the field, and yet they're getting tons of chatter, right? They'll get the discussion pieces this month. They're going to be at a high level, and they're doing nothing. Their product is not providing us anything, which, you know, that's when you know you're a success, right? When you're doing nothing. The product is not on the field, on the playing surface, and yet everybody's talking about your league.
Yep. And the things that you're showing on TV are getting higher ratings than pretty much all the other sports.
It's absolutely amazing.
Here's what's also cool about this is, I mean, the Titans went to the AFC Championship game this past season, and with a team that, okay, you can see some areas that they could work on, whether it's the players that they already have or adding or what have you. But everybody feels really good about the direction of this team. The coach, the GM, figuring out the quarterback, figuring out the running back, that's obviously the priority. But I think the hope is, okay, they're going to be back in that, you know, position, back in contention, you know, fighting for a division title this time around, things like that. And so I think we all know that here, but I feel like the rest of the league is now starting to feel that way. And so you wonder how many nationally televised games are they going to get when the schedule comes out? You know, is that going to go up? I believe that it will.
Yeah, it will.
You know, for sure. And so I think there's going to be more national attention on this team than there has been in a while, and that should be exciting for people too.
Without a doubt. We're going to have at least one Monday night football game here. I think you'll have Thursday night also. So
I think they might get a Sunday night game.
Yeah, I mean, there's a high chance of that, you know, because obviously you have the whole – flex schedule too.
Sure.
So if they don't get one early, I can see it being flexed.
What do you think that John Robinson in their war room right now has as their top position? Or do you truly believe they're going to take the approach at 29 that it's best available player?
I think they're going to take that approach, but I think their top right now, excluding free agency, I would say edge.
Still go to edge.
And do you think it's worthy? Is the product that's out there and available worthy at that pick?
I think the second round is when you do it. Bradley and I.
Second round.
Even into the third round, Jonathan Greenard out of Florida, I know he's – and actually everyone has been on the Dante Fowler to the Titans thing. Well, Greenard is – he has drawn comps to him. And he's a guy that you could get probably in the third round. I know they met with him. I talked to Greenard personally, and he said he likes the scheme, how he would fit. So he's somebody – I still think Josh Uche is in play. I just wonder about having Uche on the other side of Harold Landry. I feel like you have to have a big, heavy-handed guy on the opposite side of Harold Landry as far as setting the edge. And that's why I think Greenard is a good fit. Terrell Lewis, he's somebody I could see at 29 them taking. Yeah, Alabama. Long, long, long guy that likes to get his hands on you and, you know, do some things.
Well, in Jacksonville, you never can say – Jags without drama, right?
I mean,
it follows them wherever they go or whatever they do. So they've tagged Ndokwe, and he has said, thanks, but I don't want to play here anymore.
Yep.
That's going to make the organization feel great.
I don't know what to make of that organization.
Appreciate it, but
I don't think anybody does.
I'd like to leave.
I think they're so scarred from, you know, that Tom Coughlin era.
Yeah. That turned out to be
it. They're almost all those relationships have seemed to have taken their course.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who knew that it was going to be a disaster? I actually thought at the time when it first happened, I was like, you know, they could use a Tom Coughlin type. And, you know, he's been there before. He had success. But they could use to kind of straighten up that organization. But
didn't work.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
Could you see the Titans taking a look at a guy like Shaq Barrett?
He's going to get tagged.
You think so?
He's
over Winston?
He's not going to be available. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He will get tagged.
It'd be a smart move for them, but he's somebody that – I mean, we talked about him when the Titans played the Bucs that I really liked.
I can't see him doing it. I think he's going to get tagged.
A.J. Green getting tagged? I mean,
AJ, poor A.J.
He just can't escape Cincy, can he? You know what I mean?
Why would they even want to do that? He's barely played in 2 years.
They're hoping that they could get him – return to, you know, what he used to be.
That he'll be rested and, you know.
So they're willing to pay him top 5 wide receiver money?
when healthy, I think he's a top five receiver.
No question, but I mean,
yeah,
that's a big win.
When healthy, yeah.
But those are big words. Capitalized.
I'm almost sure they have plenty of money to spend too. So I could see them tagging him and taking Burrow. So this way, you know, Burrow has a good assortment of guys. You know, my man from Pittsburgh, Taylor, his name slips my mind. You got John Ross back in the mix, you know, and handing it off to the running back. I think they have a good mix if A.J. Green comes back.
I just was shocked that they tagged him of all
Burrow
people.
Burrow to Green.
Well, it'll be nice if he's there, but yeah. It kind of goes back to but when.
Yeah. Boyd, Taylor Boyd.
Boyd. So, I don't know. It's going to be fun to see how a lot of these things play out. Where do you think Mariota ends up?
Chicago.
So you're back to Chicago?
Yeah, I still think Chicago. L.A. would be sweet for him. L.A. would be sweet. But I tell you, I think Jordan Love ends up with the Chargers.
I've seen that.
Really?
Some mocks.
Yeah, yep. I think Jordan Love ends up. Maybe not at fifth, but I could see him, like, bouncing back into the first.
Yep.
If he's there in the 20s, I could see him.
Is it out of the realm of possibility for J-Rob to get close to 29 and go, you know what? What I want, I can get in the second round and trade out and get more picks?
I think it's possible. Because they're – I think it's going to really depend on Wayne and the impact. I can see him moving back. I can see that. I can see him taking Jordan Love at 29 too.
Mm.
I can see that.
I think a lot of that depends on – whose name is on a contract
yeah,
at that point.
It definitely does. Yeah, but I could see him doing it.
Where does Tua end up? Because, I mean, he is going to be one of the discussion pieces, if not the discussion piece, because there is no drama with Burrow. So where does he go?
I think Miami. I think he still ends
five.
Up.
Five.
I have a theory on that.
Dolphins.
Nobody trades up in front of him?
I don't think so. I don't
There's
think
some intriguing him. Teams right behind the Dolphins that could – certainly use a Tua.
Yeah, I think he goes to five.
Who's at four again? I don't have the list in
the
front of
Giants.
Me. The Giants. The Giants, I think, are in a very, very intriguing position. They could really benefit themselves if they're willing to move down
yeah,
a little bit.
I could see Isaiah Simmons going there. Mekhi Becton also. Man, that joker was 370-something pounds and ran five flat. Good.
You said that's pretty good for a big fella.
It's all right. You're doing right. That's good, man.
See, I think there's a quarterback that we haven't talked about that is going to be moved or available or something. That is in the league now, and I think his name is Matthew Stafford. I think Detroit could take a shot at Tua.
Some of the Lions guys I talked to said they don't see that happening.
Why? They
said they don't see that happen. Because I asked a good two or three guys, and they're like, "Nah."
And see, I've always thought that Stafford was good. I always thought he was overrated, but I thought he was still good, just on some really bad teams. You know, he had Megatron for so many years, but that's really it. He hasn't had a lot around him to work with. But I look at Detroit at this point. You know, why not just kind of hit reset? Bring in somebody like Tua or whatever, you know, if you trade out of that pick, get somebody else. But, you know, I have seen some mocks that have Tua at three to Detroit. I mean, I'm looking at one right now that has him at two to Washington. Don't see that. But
yeah, that whole idea is ridiculous. Why would you?
Yeah,
you
because it's the Redskins. So right. I guess it's never ridiculous if it's the Redskins.
But Bruce Allen is gone.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so. Fair. But you still got Daniel Snyder in place.
Yeah. Hey, I like that.
They haven't shifted the owner out.
Tua Tungalabunga guy. Let's go get him.
All right, we'll come back, wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Tonight's the Predators and Edmonton Oilers at Bridgestone Arena. That's why we're at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday morning. Victor Arvidsson bobblehead tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah, bobblehead night. Victor Arvidsson, first 8,000 fans through the doors will get a Victor Arvidsson bobblehead. Players will be wearing camo jerseys for warm-ups and then auctioning them off during the game. See Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, two of the highest scorers in the NHL. And possibly, who knows, this could be a playoff matchup. You never know. Could be.
You never know.
Pre-game starts at 6. Puck drop at 7. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. We're talking with Teron Davenport. Talking with TD, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans. And, of course, his podcast, check it out, Talking with TD. And on Friday nights, for a lot of Friday nights, especially during the season. And my guess is you guys will do a little bit as free agency and the draft here maybe in the next couple months. A little Friday night action.
We'll be back in the mix.
There will be – it may not even be a Friday night. It could be another night. But there will be some things, I'm sure. So,
right.
And speaking of, just to tie this in, I know you'll – I'm not stepping on your toes. You'll do the official promo a little bit later. But Brett Kern is going to be my guest on Smashville Live this week. So mixing some Titans and Preds Wednesday night, so that'll be cool. And I bring that up because Brett Kern was actually at the Nashville SC match the other night. Corey Davis was there, so it was good to see some Titans flavor as they were supporting their roommates, I guess, as Nashville SC will play at Nissan Stadium. But pretty cool to see that type of support with that event Saturday night.
Maybe since they're roommates, maybe they were making sure that they weren't tearing up their field. Maybe.
Could be.
Taking care of the house, man.
What do you think they were screaming? Get that divot!
Keeping the house in order.
But Kern was all decked out, had his scarf on, had his, what do they call it, a kit? Not a jersey, but a kit. Had that on. And so they were looking good. Corey Davis was doing some videos.
Well, the Predators players are a little busy right now, but once their schedule opens up a little, you'll see some Predators players over there for sure, because the European background.
Yeah, well, especially I ran into almost literally this morning Philip Forsberg. I know that he will be one of those guys.
No question.
Because he would go out to First Horizon Park and watch the USL Nashville SC. So he, you know that you'll see him at Nissan Stadium.
Well, Pekka was Hal and I's guest in postgame on Saturday night, and even Pekka.
Yeah,
I brought up to the 59,000 that were over there at Nissan Stadium, and he just talked about how in the room so many guys that follow the sport pretty closely.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool to see the support. But Teron, as we kind of wrap this up, one thing that we haven't brought up yet, I know Mike Vrabel did not hire a defensive coordinator, and all indications are it's going to be him. But he's also, when he spoke at the combine, he did say that he's still kind of figuring out that whole dynamic of who's going to be calling the plays and things like that. I would assume it's going to be him, but we've talked about this before. What did you take from that?
Yeah, I mean, I assume it's going to be him. That's why I asked him about being careful not to spread himself too thin. And this is just my interpretation and also based on some conversations that I had. When he's saying they're still working through it, I think it's a big part of it is just the chain of command.
Sure.
Right? And trying to figure out how to fine-tune that. I really strongly feel, because the other thing that you have to look at in his comments is when he said that not having Dean Pease there as a part of the overall responsibilities that Vrabel has, he says that eliminates one channel. And instead of it going from Vrabel to Pease, then to the inside linebacker or whoever has the green dot, that chain is eliminated. I mean, I don't know. I'm reading the tea leaves. It kind of tells me that he's going to call the defense. However, I feel like there will be that Jim Haslett experience weighing in.
I feel like he's in the booth and he's the eye in the sky.
Exactly. I think Haslett will be in the booth and obviously Vrabel down on the field. And I think that's just – I just wonder how that's going to impact the inside linebackers, you know.
Right.
Some guys are better with just in-person communication than headset to headset. So we'll see how that works. That's a key area that has to be looked at. The development under Coach Tyrone McKenzie, who I saw out there in Indy, man. That's my guy, man. But the development that Jayon Brown had, that Rashawn Evans had, and even that David Long had,
yep.
You know, how will that continue to take place? Because they seem to really – their learning style seem to really match Coach McKenzie's teaching style. So I wonder how that's going to work.
What do you think Mike Vrabel is going to – what do you think if he's in a private moment – trying to figure out, look, you're always trying to hone your craft. You're always trying to get better, right? At least the good ones are always trying to do that, no matter what you've accomplished. What do you think he's thinking about he needs to work on for year three? I think we saw big strides from year one to year two. I think he's made strides along the way of things that he did early on that he doesn't do now or does differently for the better. What do you think privately he would think he needs to work on as a head coach for year three?
I think he's going to continue to attempt to tweak ways to push buttons for the guys and get them inspired to have early, quick starts, because that's something that plagued them offensively and defensively. And I think that's going to be an area that he's focused on. And now, obviously, with Dean Pease gone, I think it is going to be something he's going to focus on getting his defense ready a bit more, because it's really, really going to kind of be his calling card. So I would say those two things.
And he can trust Arthur Smith.
Hey, listen. I love the way Coach Art calls games.
Yeah.
You know, because he is never afraid to take that shot when need be.
By the way, there's reports out there that Jameis Winston will – likely test the free agent market.
Yeah.
See, I could see him being a fit in L.A.
I could see that.
Yeah, you talking about with the Chargers?
Yeah.
That
I could see that.
That fits to me.
Honestly, the guy they have there now under contract is a fit, Tyrod Taylor. Listen, all these Bills fans wanted him out. They got a younger version of him. You know what I mean? In Josh Allen, they got basically the same results that they got before from Tyrod Taylor. So I think he's plenty capable.
Are you sure he's not another he's not more of just the Case Keenum, Nick Foles type? Like, he's not really your 16 game a season, or maybe 17.
Why not?
Because I think he's had his opportunities and he hasn't.
He had his opportunity and led the Bills to the playoffs. Let's talk about it.
Then why did they let him go?
Because they wanted Josh Allen. They wanted to.
You see what I mean? I mean, I feel like
he wasn't their guy. You know what I mean? He wasn't the guy for them.
Like, I think he's really good. I wonder if he's really good in spots as opposed to a 16-game season.
16-game season. One of his two 16-game seasons resulted in a playoff appearance.
Yeah.
I think that speaks a lot. But it's just – and that's the thing.
And they could have won that game in Jacksonville.
Yeah. They could have. And it goes back to even me talking about P.J. Walker in the XFL. A lot of these guys, it's not so much a talent as much as it's opportunity. That's something we have to look at. A lot of these guys are really talented, but they just haven't gotten the opportunities for whatever reason.
Interesting. Yeah, I think if he does indeed, if he's out of Tampa – he's one that it'll be really interesting to see where he lands. Yeah. I mean, would Indianapolis have interest in him? Or would he drive Frank Reich crazy with the interceptions? Or does he think he could fix him?
I think if the Colts go veteran, they're going by way of Philip Rivers, right? But with Jameis, obviously we know he had the surgery, the LASIK surgery. But then apparently he was playing with a bad knee last year too. Not making excuses, but I'm sure that impacted.
I feel like Frank Reich could be good for him, though. And I mean, Bruce Arians, you know, if he went back, I think Bruce Arians is good for a quarterback. But
yeah,
but I could see Frank Reich.
I mean, he could be good for any quarterback.
Sure,
but having that interest, I don't think he has it. I think Philip Rivers is a guy because there's proven success with Rivers.
Yeah,
when they were in, and I'm purposely saying San Diego because this is when they were the San Diego Chargers.
Right.
Interesting. Good stuff as always,
yes, sir.
TD. Thank you for stopping by.
Not a problem.
To start off the week.
Yes, sir.
You have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
You know it.
Yeah. Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans. His work can be found at ESPN and ESPN TD.com. He does a really good job. Also, his podcast, check it out, Talking with TD. He's got a huge combine presence, and he is going to be all over free agency and the NFL draft. We'll come back with hour number two next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.